Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In Mark chapter 3, where our gospel lesson starts, Jesus' ministry is starting to pick up speed, but his message is also starting to encounter resistance, and from some unexpected places. In our gospel lesson, both the Pharisees and Jesus' own family attempt to undermine him. Jesus has already crossed the Pharisees on multiple occasions in Mark. In chapter 2, Jesus offended the Pharisees by forgiving the sins of a paralyzed man. And he further offended them when he healed this paralyzed man. In chapter 3, the same chapter we're in earlier, he had defied the Pharisees' instructions and their intentions by healing a man on the Sabbath day. And so it's clear already that the Pharisees oppose Jesus and what he stands for, but they can't really deny that Jesus has power. Too many people have seen the miracles that Jesus has done. So instead, what they say is, sure, Jesus has power, but it's a power of the dark arts. He's a sorcerer, an evil man commanding evil spirits. He's in league with Beelzebul, the Lord of Demons. Now, at first glance, the Pharisees' claim sounds half credible. Maybe Jesus was masquerading to trick the people. But, I mean, think about it. Friendly fire only happens on accident, or maybe when it is completely unavoidable. I tried thinking, and maybe you could think of some and tell me, but I couldn't bring to mind a single example of an army deliberately attacking itself. Yet, that's exactly what the Pharisees claim Jesus is doing by expelling evil spirits. But Jesus says, come on, guys, if Satan were attacking himself, we should be rejoicing because his kingdom is disintegrating. Satan's kingdom is falling apart, Jesus says, but it's because I am destroying him, not because of a civil war in his realm. I have defeated the devil, the strong man, and now I will sack and plunder him out of house and home. But, of course, it's not just the Pharisees. Jesus' own family members are severely embarrassed that Jesus is defying social norms and upsetting the authorities. So they come looking for him to have a family intervention to take him away for his own good. But Jesus refused to be cowed either by the religious authorities or by cultural or even familial pressure. Because, as he tells us, his mission is not from men, but from God, led by the Spirit of God. Well, this gospel lesson is a story about identity. Who can tell us who Jesus is? Is it the Pharisees, Jesus' family, or Jesus himself? Jesus tells us, say what you want. Well, and he tells the Pharisees and the crowd, say what you want about me personally, but make sure that you don't slander God. If it is God's Spirit who is doing these things, and yet you say it's the devil, then you're not slandering me, but God himself. And if you actively oppose God, you're his enemy, by definition, by your own admission. Make sure, Jesus says, that you are not God's enemy. When his family comes to put him in the loony bin, they try to meet with him. Your family is waiting for you, Jesus, the crowds tell him. But Jesus responds, who is my family? And looking at those gathered around him and listening to him, he says, here are my mothers and brothers and sisters. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. You see, this passage is about identity, but it's not just about Jesus' identity. The truth is, Jesus' identity is not up for interpretation. He is, in fact, sent by God. But our identity is maybe a little up in the air. And we learn that our ultimate identity is not found in ourselves, in our psyche, or in our feelings or desires, but in Christ alone. One consequence, and as we read this story, is that Jesus often did good, but what he did was often called evil. And we too are sometimes must speak truth only to be called liars by those who are in the dark. We have a prominent example this week. I imagine many of you heard about this, the Olympic gold medalist Bruce Jenner, who decided that he wanted to become a girl and be called Caitlyn. In fact, after undergoing transgender surgery, ESPN is giving him the annual ESPYs Courage Award to Jenner. Now, how should we be responding to this as human beings and as followers of Christ? Should we be applauding such a development as it feels like a lot of the world is? Well, I think it's worth talking about. We raise our kids, after all, in this world. The hearts and minds of our children are worth discussing and caring for. Now, I certainly don't expect others who are not Christian to believe everything I do. Following Jesus has, in fact, transformed and changed me, and so I don't expect the world to think the same way I do, because with Jesus, I think differently than I otherwise would have. But in fact, I think that should probably be our goal, our aim as Christian people as well. We're here, as our own mission statement says, to share Christ and change lives. Not necessarily, I don't think, to change laws or public perception, but to, with the Spirit of Christ, have opportunities to change people. Now, I expect the world to think differently than I do. I'm not shocked, I guess. Maybe it's just because of, you know, the world that I've grown up in, but I'm not expecting the world to think the same way I do. And I certainly think the last thing we should be doing is hating people or picking on those who are different from us. That's certainly not how Jesus acted to those who were on the outskirts of society. Even those who were, you know, even if we think that they maybe don't have something right, that's not an excuse to be mean or spiteful towards someone. We should be caring for people as Christ would, listening to them, and looking for appropriate opportunities to share Christ with them. Paul tells us in the New Testament that telling people right and wrong, the law, has no power to change someone or to transform. He says it's only the forgiveness, the gospel, the death and resurrection of Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, that has the power to change hearts, not simply telling someone they're wrong. Ultimately, what we want to do is not change one thing about somebody, but to introduce them to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit, because it's not us who can change someone, but it's Christ who can change and transform not only other people's lives, but our lives as well. So how do we go about, maybe a better way, how do we go about providing the Spirit and the Word of God the opportunity to transform people from the inside out, to change not just the outside, but the inside? Well, I think always the first thing for us to do as Christians is to repent of our own sins. Maybe even of our own, for myself, a little bit of frustration or anger or bitterness when I read things that I don't like. Secondly, we remember that who we are. We are a people who follow Jesus Christ. And the best thing that we have to offer this world is, in fact, Jesus Christ. Our main goal is not to condemn sin, although we sometimes need to. Our main goal is to offer people something better, to offer forgiveness in Christ's name. Along the way, we certainly sometimes do have to speak the truth about sin, but our goal is to proclaim God's grace, not to condemn, but our goal is to heal. Thirdly, we do, I think, need to be willing to talk about these things with people who we care about and people for whom we care. We have a responsibility not so much to convince our culture of the truth, but to present those who are entrusted to us with the best that we can do, the healthiest way that we have of interpreting reality and dealing with life, to teach not confusion, but the good purpose of creation, the value of our bodies and what God has given us, as well as the boundaries that God created for our own benefit. One important thing is talking parents as we talk to our children. And parents, I am a parent, we may not always want to talk with our children about things that are a little frightening and uncomfortable, but the truth is, if we don't talk with our children, someone else will. Where do we want our kids to get their information from? The appropriately named Vanity Fair article about Jenner. The internet has an astounding and chilling amount of misinformation on things like sexuality. I mean, just think about it this way, perhaps. Are we seriously going to let our those we love get advice on sexuality from a Kardashian actor without comment? I think we at times have to, as parents, pull on our big boy and big girl pants and talk about difficult issues with our kids. It's actually an amazing responsibility, even if it's difficult to do, and it's a privilege to be able to help share and shape these little ones who are entrusted to us. Let's look at the Jenner situation, I'm assuming you all are maybe somewhat familiar with it, from an alternative perspective, the Christian perspective. Perhaps, in a sense, I think that maybe we could commend Jenner for his courage. He had the courage to admit that something was not right in his life. He instinctively knew that something was off kilter, and he was right. I'm sure that that was not easy to admit. Unfortunately, from a scriptural perspective, he arrived at the wrong solution. Because even with extensive surgery and hormone injections, his heart and mind were not fixed. Not only in a spiritual sense, but in a very physical sense. All he did was fix the outside, but not the inside. It's the same problem that we as human beings face too. And we too are often tempted to just fix the outside of our problems, but not address the inside. The real solution is not a cosmetic change, but Jesus. We can come to Jesus with the burdens of our hearts and minds and souls. Things, just like for Jenner, are not right in our life either. There are things that keep us up at night, things which we hide from the people around us. But we can open up with them and share them with Christ. We confess them to God. And wonderfully, God doesn't hold these things against us. Instead, he forgives us for Christ's sake. The world often may seem out of control, but the truth is Jesus is still the Lord of creation. Better yet, he is your and my Lord. Even though you carry burdens and I carry burdens, even though you sin, he has loved you beyond measure. Jesus is, after all, the only qualified surgeon who can fix any of us. He can give you a real and lasting surgery that will not just change you on the outside, but your heart and mind and soul as well. In fact, that's exactly God's plan. When you die, he will place you on the operating table, and when you come to, you will be restored and healthy, forgiven, free, and whole. Humankind We are all of us pretty good at messing things up. We are all of us often mean, hateful, and lost in twisted ways of thinking. But as good as we are at messing things up, Jesus is even better at fixing them. No matter how twisted and upside down we may sometimes make this world, you know what? It just makes a more interesting and intricate puzzle for our Lord to unravel and put together aright once again. We are sinners, but Christ is our Savior, and His grace triumphs over our sin. Alleluia. In Jesus' name, amen.